Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So here was our assignment. Something we were withholding made us weak until we found it was ourselves. There is a Zen story that tells of two practitioners of Zen, Anshu, who rigidly followed the precepts and eschews intoxicating drinks, while the other Tanzo, a university professor, eats and hungry and drinks when thirsty. One day, Tanzo invited Anshu for a drink. Anshu said solemnly, "I never drink." Tanzo exclaimed, "One who doesn't drink is not human." Anshu was insulted. "Are you saying I'm not human?" he asked. "If I'm not human, what am I?" Tanzo responds, "A Buddha." Our identification with the ego blinds us to our true nature. Today, pay attention to when you feel weak and see if you're listening to a conversation in conditioned mind. All right, here's our first caller, Sherry. You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina from Southern California. Good morning.
Oh, hello. Good morning.
Hello. Yesterday's call was so inspiring that this morning I was thinking, I don't have anything to say. And I thought, no, I'm in the queue because I'm not separate from anybody else. I'm part of the Sangha. I'm part of the greater life that is. And that only ego would believe that I'm separate and would have nothing to offer today. So
that's
here I am.
Exactly it, isn't it? Yes, yes. Very good, very good.
Yeah. And so with this particular story, I'm involved in a fundraising effort, and it's nothing to do with Sangha. This is an outside fundraising effort, and we're almost to the end of something we've been doing for a year, and the amount of bickering amongst the adults, it's pretty unbearable. And as I was heading into the third meeting this week, yesterday, I was thinking about this this particular story and this quote, and just realizing that people have taken their positions on things, and people are gathering on their sides, and I thought, what if I just imagine all of them as who they actually are, as opposed to, these identified selves, but instead that, we're all part of something bigger, both on the small, tangible scale, we're working towards a fundraiser to help other people.
and hating each other along the way.
Exactly. So we're bad. And then on the bigger scale of, none of us is separate. And we all, have something in each moment to bring. So so I found it really helpful to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Always when to see people as the innocent, authentic beings that we are underneath all the crapola that has gotten layered on.
Exactly. Yeah. And that everyone who joined this board did it because they cared. They did it from a place of oneness with all.
Yes, wanting something better for everybody. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, wanting to contribute, and and it's easy to get pulled into that space of, I'm right, you're wrong, and everything's going to fall apart if we don't do it this particular way because people get afraid, I guess, or yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's funny, isn't it? So there I am, or you be that person, okay? You're convinced that it has to be this way. It just has to be this way. I think, as you've pointed out, because it coming from a fear place, something awful is going to happen if it's not done the way I see it needs to be done. And then I'm over here really irritated with you because you're holding on to this stupid position, unlike me, who is coming from a clear, centered place.
Right.
And it's you know, so it's that mirror thing,
yes.
You know, or the Quaker Oats box, you know, where it just
yes.
keeps going, and, you know, wanting to find the position that we can hold that is the right position, so that when we hold it, we'll be the right person, which
yeah.
I suspect is the, you know, the Zen dude with the with his strict morals.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Or the one who carried the woman with him on the whole walk, as opposed to the one who carried the woman across the water. You know?
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
We were looking at that last night at the monastery. In fact, you know, the point of freedom that we're looking for, the place of freedom that. With the carrying the woman, you know, it's not I can't carry I'm a monk, I can't touch a woman, or oh what the heck, you know, it's just a stupid rule, I don't have to follow rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that. It's that
yeah.
place in the middle where we can see that larger picture and we're free of this side of the duality or that side of the duality.
Yes, it reminds me of the story that I've heard you tell after a bridge walk where everyone was exhausted, there was pouring rain, for whatever reason, you were way off schedule after the bridge walk, and you all stopped for Mexican food.
Trying to get
food.
Home.
Yes, and hungry, and you got to find a place to eat, and you stopped for Mexican food, and it was, we're not going to ask them if they use chicken stock in their rice.
Well, right. No, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. Everybody was so exhausted, it never, you know, you're a vegetarian, it doesn't occur to you that everybody isn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So everybody
yeah.
orders their food, and
yeah.
and it's like, oh, thank goodness, let's just go sit down, and they're going to bring us food, we're going to survive here. And the last person in line says, is there anything non-vegetarian in this? Yeah, and you want to see a bunch of really conscious, compassionate, centered Buddhists turn into a lynch mob, right? Because it's like, if there was ever a time for don't ask, don't tell, this would be it. Yeah, but just
yeah.
so caught in being the right person that we lose compassion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because it's so life,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's such the human experience.
Yeah, and the opportunity, again, that we have to find ourselves on both sides of that duality and realize it's not either one of those, right? What we're going for is the freedom, the clarity that can see life in everything.
Yeah, and I'll just say one more thing. The tool that I have found to be most helpful with navigating this space that we're talking about is the setting of my alarm to come back to, you know, on a regular basis. Because when I come back to, then all those, you know, rigid rules and ideas I have about being the right person or the right spiritual practitioner, you know, they not that they fall away, but they sort of do because I can come back right here where everything's okay, and then the answer, so to speak, of whatever I'm looking at, it's available. It's so clear of, you know, what resonates with the next step. Or I'm speaking so abstractly,
yes,
but I think you follow.
Because what you come back to is what you choose.
Mm.
Which is all we can ever do, right? You choose to be here. You choose the unconditional to the best of your ability. You know, you choose
yeah.
thy will be done. You choose compassion, conscious awareness, as best you can.
Yes. Okay, I'm taking the unconditional with me off this call, so thank you.
Okay, good. Me too. All right. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Christina. Wow, what that brings me to is the answer from Tanzo, right? You are the Buddha. And that is that coming back to the presence to know that conscious, compassionate awareness will be appropriate to the moment.
Yes.
Rather than having
yes.
to leave it to be the good person who follows the precepts and doesn't drink ever.
Yes, and is incredibly judgmental about those who do, and
okay.
and eager to be offended by any slight, and
mm-hmm.
you know, all of those kinds of places that we all know, we recognize that in ourselves.
Yeah, well, and I love that place where in that the ability to experience the lack of absolute in anything that conditioning
mm-hmm.
has decided is absolute, like ethics or morality or right and wrong, and to move
mm-hmm.
into that ambiguity of the Buddha nature, which is just present without judgment, without absolute, and yet it's got something so absolute about it. It's a different
yes.
kind of absolute.
Exactly. Yes. So it would be lowercase absolute and then capital A absolute, right? Is with everything.
Yes.
There's the absolute
yes.
that embraces the two sides of the duality of lowercase absolute.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a really
good.
Gorgeous place to live.
Yes. And even if it's as Christina is saying, you know, we set our alarm and we check in throughout the day. With that place,
yeah.
it makes a day glorious.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. You are now live on the
All
air.
Right.
Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Well, hello,
hey,
Janet. What you been
Hi.
Up to?
Hi. Oh, my gosh. First, I just want to say, what a fantastic retreat. Transcending Fear Retreat is amazing. Was amazing. Is amazing.
Is amazing. In fact, I think I mentioned in a group that I said to Ashwini while we were there, do you think we could offer this one more time at the monastery? So we did it for New Year's, then North Carolina, then Pennsylvania. Could we do it one more time for people who missed it? Because it is a rock star of a retreat, isn't it?
Yes, it really is, and I think I spoke to you about this. I said, I'm not sure if this is the best retreat or my practice has just really deepened a lot or a combination of both. But, you know, I don't even remember that I had the fear book. So the whole time I'm like, I got to get the fear book. And first thing I did when I got home was look on my shelf, and sure enough, there it is. And I'm like,
yes, although if it's not the new and improved version, you still don't have the fear book.
I don't have
yeah.
the new improved. Okay, thank you. I'm glad
yeah,
I brought
yeah,
that up.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, because you know it now. It's full of recording and listening and all those things that we know make such a difference for us in practice.
That's the other thing I wanted to say. It brought recording and listening to a new level for me. The resistance that was still there, not to doing it, but to be fully participating in a way that has been encouraged,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I hit I went through a wall.
uh-huh.
I went through the door.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was
yes.
like, there was a shift. It was a total shift. And I'm just so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we could project that happened for a lot of people, didn't it? That people really got the power of that practice. I again with Ashwini, I haven't said this to her, but I'll say it to her on the call to you, and then she's listening. You know, that I think having her do a video teaching that practice the way she taught it at the retreat would be a godsend.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah.
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 Because it's just, yeah, as you say, it just takes it to a whole new level when we really get all of the aspects of it and the implications and the ramifications. And then we have the experience. It's just there's no going back. No matter what the voices try to do, the resistance is pretty much done for at that point.
Yes. So I am just so full of gratitude for that. And I wanted to report on the reading and the assignment. I had a great chance to practice. It actually happened this morning. I went to teach a class, and I wasn't there for the class last week, and I won't be there next week, so there was someone else subbing for me. And so when I came in, there were about three people who came in and took a look at me like, who the heck am I? Where's the other person?
And, where's our teacher?
Yeah, and it was, I was like, hi, yeah, this is my class. I just wasn't here and there then. So it was this chance for me to feel the sensations of the sensations that came with the story of, oh my God, they don't like me. They don't, you know, something's wrong with me. I could see the whole thing just bubbling up. And it was so great because in that moment, I was just like, oh, yay, here I am. I'm in fear. Take a deep breath and just look at that person and say, oh, hi, I'm so glad to see you. And this is where it's at today, and I hope you stay and blah-bitty blob and be fine. But to watch that whole process, because being so fresh out of the retreat, which is what we were doing, and to actually do it right there on the spot was just like, mm-hmm. instead of weak, I felt so strong and so mm-hmm. in line with life.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I had this image drop in, Janet, when you were talking about that. That so you're a doctor, you're a surgeon, and so you went through surgery school, and then you had a few weeks, a few months before you actually did surgery on somebody. Okay, talk about a nerve-wracking experience, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you do it, and then you do it that day, and the next 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 day, then instead of being terrified by the prospect, it's, as you say, it's a growing sense of this is what I'm trained to do. I know how to do this. This is what I'm here for. Let's go. Right, with that, you had that wonderful opportunity, and then. Perhaps you will actually, as we talked about, continue to seek out those opportunities so that you stay strong.
Yeah, boy. See, I forgot that part.
Well, we do. That's why we're here to remind everybody.
That's why I'm on this call to remember that. Yes, because that was happening, and I was very aware in the back of my mind, conditioning was like, you should quit. You should quit. You're too old for this. Like, let someone else take over. You know, it was like this campaign of, you know, it was there, but it wasn't like in the forefront, but it was there. So that guidance to go out and seek out those opportunities, so important, yes.
Yeah. Stay strong. Gives new meaning to that. Stay strong. Right?
Yes.
We need to keep using the tools and developing the abilities so that we just every day we are more fearless.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Janet.
That's why I called. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Janet. You know, Sherry, that place of what you were pointing about the surgeon, it's really practice. We have to practice the skill of attention and awareness. So that's what it takes.
And we really want our surgeon to have that, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's true. It's true for all of us. Every moment of every day, we've got to be using the tools and practicing if we want to stay strong.
Yes, because if it's what you practice is what you have. Because if we're not doing that, we have the other thing. That's what we're practicing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right. We're always practicing something, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita.
Hello, Ramita.
Hello. Greetings from sunny Charleston. And there's an
out
environment
of Irma's,
here. Yes.
Out of Irma's way, far north of Irma.
Yes, and but may get a sample of her a little later this week. But that aside, talking about fear, it sort of brought that up. Talking about the assignment, I guess I've been looking for a reason to talk about the recent Musings article,
uh-huh.
which was not feeling bad, take two. And this quote talks about, you know, how that the monk got indignant, and I see that as what happens when I see something about my practice, something I see a process going on, and then there's this contraction. That's not me. I don't like that. I'm the wrong person. All of that, and just with so another process laid out so beautifully in that. Newsletter that I could see clearly, and it's opened up ways of seeing patterns that haven't been available before, probably because of ego clutching down to be the right person.
So, yeah, so kind of a more subtle look at feeling bad?
Yeah. For example, well, what's been missing is the compassion. You know, let's take eating a piece of chocolate. You know, there's no precept against it.
But
there's
you did not, Ramita. Tell me you did not. Yeah.
You
bad, awful, evil person.
I know, and what's missing is that sense of compassion. You know, there's this sense of, you know, working with a mentor to take really good care of this body and find a middle way of doing that, like you were just talking about. You know, it's not one side of the duality or the other. But when I do a behavior out of unconsciousness, conditioning jumps in and tortures me with it, and I can't see anything else. Yet,
Oh, go ahead. No, finish that thought. You're probably going where I'm going.
Well, when reading through the Musings article, you know, letting that process wash over me, I was able to come to a place of compassion and curiosity and recognize that some of the conversation that I hadn't been aware of before, like it's okay to cheat, which was basically conditioning getting me to collude with it and saying, oh, this was me, instead of this is a behavior out of unconsciousness.
Yeah. Wow. And cheat. There's if you're going to have a word, let's have a loaded word, right?
So
It's okay to steal.
Yes.
It's okay to kill. You know, that's wow. And if that's happening under the radar, then that really is ugly, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
It's okay to be a cheater.
You're just cheating on your diet. You know, no one's going to know. And, you know, it's just this little bit. And you can get right back on it. And, you know, which is a step in a process. It had been an all or nothing thing. Oh, you've cheated. Therefore, the diet, for example, moot. Forget it.
Live on chocolate from now on.
Exactly. And throw some ice cream in there and whatever.
Yeah.
So moving from that to it's okay to cheat to, wait a second, it's unconscious. That's ego cheating. That's not me.
And the part that I would add at the end of it is some humor.
Yes.
You know, could we get a little tiny grip here? We're talking about chocolate. Right? This is, you know, you're not, we're talking about chocolate. This is not cocaine. This is not heroin.
Well, you know, we could get a little bit more drastic, Sherry, and say it's a glass of wine. And then we're really going into the precepts. And now, I don't know, you know, you're breaking a precept. And
that's right. And, right, it is the same process. Because what we're getting to is, is that ability to make something real, make somebody feel bad, and as you're saying, camouflage the fact that the real issue is unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we take the sting out of the content, then we can get to what the real issue is. Conditioning mm-hmm. had me go unconscious, and that's a scary place for me. I don't want to do that. Not I'm a bad person because I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to abandon the person and leave her in the hands of a maniac.
Yes. So adding some humor, adding some compassion, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I see more and more layers of this coming up. Subtle stuff, and mm-hmm. just really, really grateful for...
Ramita, this is kind of an aside, but when you were talking about the Musings article, because that's where this came from, and what conditioning wants us to do with something like that, or these things that we're looking at in this, or wherever we are, whatever it is, read it, and then go on about your life. But to record something like that, even mm-hmm. if... record it and then record the good parts and listen to it and listen to it enough that it feels like it's really sinking in. It's changing you at a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And then, let it be something that you listen to just periodically, but not on an everyday basis. Because when we find something that really resonates in that way, there's a deep message for us in it.
Absolutely. Absolutely my experience, Sherry. I recorded it. I listened to it several times the first day. I've been looking, just refreshing it because it does. It nourishes me at a very deep level. It acknowledges the authenticity, the Buddha nature beneath all that nonsense. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Oh, and that's so important, isn't it, to see it as nonsense. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's not real. In that, it's not important. It's not worth wasting attention on, because what's available to us to put our attention on is what wants to wake up, what chooses compassion, what realizes that compassion is the thing to bring to this. That's what we want to be focusing our attention on.
Yes, and one more thing. When I had this opening or this letting go as a result of this seeing this process, the first thing that came to mind was, I did it. And then I realized, no, there was no I needed. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness did that.
Mm-hmm.
Life did mm-hmm. that for me. So
yes, and it's always there. Always mm-hmm. there. When we're not focused on the nonsense. On this, when we get a little distance, if we can unhook from the hateful stuff that happens as a result of people being unconscious and driven by ego, if we can get a little mm-hmm. distance from that, then we can see that it really is nonsense when we compare it to what we could be putting our attention on and nurturing, cultivating.
Yes. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ramita.
Thank you, Ramita. Oh, there was so much in that call, Sherry, but we're at the end of our show, so I'm going to read our assignment.
All right. Thank you. We'll listen to the recording of this and get more out of the conversations going forward.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The best guide in life is strength. In religion, as in all other matters, discard everything that weakens you. Have nothing to do with it. If we reframe this quote in terms of our practice, we would say the best guide in the world is the mentor. Turning to the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates gives us the support and strength to greet whatever arises in life. Today, instead of listening to what drains life force and energy, be guided by life as you direct the attention to what is here, what is true, what is now. Record and listen.
Got a theme going, don't we?
Yes, we do. All right.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Take care.
Go happy. Okay. Bye-bye.